Sam, keeping it true, watching old movies so you don't have to. With the benefit of hindsight, we'll see where the movies truly are for, or did they change history? Good evening, and welcome back to the Benefit of Hindsight podcast, the movie podcast of which a father and son talk about movies that they've watched together long ago.
We give each movie a memory score, and then we watch the movie to see whether or not it's better or worse than we remember, and then we score the movie again.
With me, as ever, is my son, Sam. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening, Dad. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, normally the standard response is tired, but I'm guessing that all right, yeah, is a step up from tired.
I'm really tired, but I'm about to have some time where I could get less tired, so I'm looking forward to that. That's what it is.
Excellent. Is that like sleeping?
It's like when you've got a car and you put an extra tire in the boot.
Got it.
Wouldn't that be more tired?
That's more tired. That's not less tired. It's like when you have a car and you take the tire out of the boot, so you're less tired.
Yeah. Does that just prove how tired I actually am?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Well, yeah, we're all tired, as always, but we're delighted to be back with the podcast. It is good to be back, and we have had a number of listener questions. This week's listener question comes from Peter. Peter is in the northeast of England.
Oh, wow.
I know. That's very interesting, isn't it?
I can neither confirm nor deny if that's local.
It might be local, depending on some features of the way in which you speak.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Peter's question is that he's looking forward to hearing what we say about the Hunger Games, and his question is about book series. He wants to know, are there any book series that have not been made into films that we would like to see made into films, or is there any films that were made from a book series that should never have happened? Nice question.
That's a good question. Yeah. I can't actually think of any. Maybe that means I don't read a lot of books. A lot of the ones that I've read, I've either read because there's a movie or have turned into a movie. I was thinking like the Reacher books, but that's now a series after two flops of the movies. I don't know. There's probably something really obvious.
But it is a good question because I was thinking, well, okay, well, I like Lord of the Rings, tick.
Yeah.
Hobbit, tick. They're now reworking... there's a new, apparently, new Lord of the Rings-ish Peter Jackson / Gandalf movie being prepared. So that box is well ticked. Harry Potter, sure. Yeah. Hunger Games that we're going to talk with, and the Narnia books. I couldn't think of one off the top of my head because I think all of the books that kind of exist in our little world are books that have already been made into films.
I have an answer.
Oh, wow. Okay, let's hear it.
technically already films, but whatever. The Star Wars The High Republic books need to be made into something.
Okay.
I've read quite a lot of those. I'm a bit behind, but I do really enjoy them, and I think there's a lot of decent opportunities for films. I know that's why they're not films, but whatever. And a lot of people that I would cast in those roles. So I would love to see The High Republic books as a film series.
Yeah, I think I'm happy to just agree with you on that. Obviously, I don't know them, honestly. But I do think, good question that it is, if there is a very good book series, it will almost inevitably become a film at some point. The second half of Peter's question, though, is book series that were made into films that shouldn't have been made into films, or books that didn't work. Do you have any?
I want to say the Spiderwick films, because I'd love to have seen an actual series of films. And I know they tried to make a show, but I don't think that went very well. But I'd love to see that done properly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm probably going to get stuck on Eragon, because that was an enormously successful book and series of books, but the film didn't translate well at all.
Yeah.
I always think as well, I do think that the series of unfortunate events hasn't translated well to the moving picture. I think it works much better as a book.
The series is all right, but I know what you mean, yeah.
Some things do work better as a book. There's a kind of dry sarcasm to that book that maybe doesn't translate particularly well.
true.
But it is a really good question. So I think the first part of our question is a series of Star Wars books. And the second part of our answer would be, well, for me, Lemony Snicket, and for you, Spiderwick, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Good question. Do keep them coming in. We have more questions than we can ever answer. But I thought I'd choose that one because it was based on where we're going next, which is the Hunger cool. Games. So Sam and I have been away and we have watched the 2012 classic movie, The Hunger Games. From memory, can you remember what you gave it as a score?
I gave it a 6, yeah.
And I gave it 3, but largely because I didn't really remember it, which is a shame on reflection. Yeah. And do you think your score will change?
Well, my score was only a 6 because I remember, you know, this was a new one for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a bit scared back then. And I think countless other rewatches and understanding of the story, I think it definitely has changed, yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. I think it's almost certain my score will change as well. Let's start, as we always do, with the cast of the Hunger Games from 2012. What did you make of the cast, Sam?
It's kind of interesting. I've read the book, which means I'm an expert. Not really.
Of course.
The characters in the book don't really match the characters in the movie. The actors in the movie. That being said, I do think they've cast them quite well. I mean, you've got a lot of big names at first, like the older cast. So you've got like Stanley Tucci, Wes Bentley, Donald Sutherland, of course.
Yeah.
And I think it's cast in a way that's like the sort of child, they're not really child actors, but the actors who play the children are really good. And some of them up and coming. But you've also got these classically trained actors who just turn up and work too. And it's like, this is an utterly ridiculous thing. What do you mean I have to wear like a crazy ponytail coloured wig? Mm-hmm. No, I'll do it. It works. Stanley Tucci's perfect for that role as well.
I did really like the cast. I thought it was really good. I thought what was super interesting about it is Jennifer Lawrence, who has obviously gone on now to become, you know, not just a well-known actress, but global megastar, you know, perfectly funny, engaging person off screen as well, it seems. And she gave everybody quite the run for their money, didn't she? I thought she was amazing in this. You know, you often see younger performers against older ones and you can see that they're struggling a bit. But she held her own with every single person and she was, I thought, really, really good.
Yeah, I think that is really what sells it in a way, is because you do expect that sort of, I don't know, newness to it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't really the right word, but when you've got like Harry Potter, you've got Daniel Radcliffe going up against like Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
There's going to be that line where you can say it's not quite the same. But I think The Hunger Games, this one particular, sort of blurs that line and you can kind of see skill on both sides of people, I think. Yeah.
It does make a load of sense. And I think what's really interesting as well is when you watch this film 13 years after it came out and presumably 14 years after it was made or shot, it's actually pretty easy to see why Jennifer Lawrence became the global superstar that she was. She is very, very good in this. And I think almost, dare I say, too good, particularly when she's up against the guy who plays Peter, Josh Hutcherson, I think.
That's the one.
Liam Hemsworth, who's perfectly good, perfectly serviceable. But I think she you can see that she's the one with the bright future ahead of her.
Yeah, and I think as well, she's one of those characters where it's dark and brooding, but Jennifer Lawrence in real life is quite bubbly and fun.
Yeah.
And I think being able to switch that just on an instant makes you a good actor.
Yeah. No, she was and is, I think, a really, really good actress. Stanley Tucci was awesome, I thought.
Yeah.
Just so funny. I mean, I suppose you could ask the question, why would you cast Stanley Tucci in that role?
Yeah.
And yet when you see him doing it, you just think, okay, it's really obvious why you'd cast him in that role. He was amazing.
I really like seeing Stanley Tucci just turn up in the weirdest movies, but just killing it. Because like Transformers 4 is one of them. And he just, like, he's got no right to be in that movie, but he kills it. And he's perfect. Or like Captain America, the First Avenger. Why is he in that?
Yeah.
But it works perfectly. Yeah.
I was really pleased to see Toby Jones as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He kind of gets excluded from some of the sequels, but he's there. But it's cool that he's in the first one.
It made me... I was watching it. I like Toby Jones. I'm a fan because I liked Detectorists, which is, I think, in my top two television programs of all time. And I was watching The Hunger Games. I didn't know he was in it. And I thought, oh, it's Toby Jones. Well, why? Why is Toby Jones in this movie? Yeah. He's playing an American. So you could find an American. And yet there is Toby Jones, and it just felt so random that he was in this movie.
I always forget that he's in it, to be honest, and every time he comes up it's like, oh, it's Dobby. But yeah. it's brilliant that he's in it, but I don't really understand why.
But he appears all over, doesn't he? You're right, he's Dobby, which you know, I mean, if it must have made him a fortune, do you know what I mean? It's great. And then does he appear in the MCU a couple of times as well?
Yeah, he's also in Captain America: The First Avenger,
yeah,
and the second one as well.
So I just think it's great that that happens. I did think there were some weaker cast moments, dare I say it?
Yeah,
I'm kind of afraid to, but I'm going to go with I didn't make much of Woody Harrelson in this.
Right, yeah.
Because I think he's a good actor.
I think
actor.
He gets better over time.
I think he's a good actor, but it didn't feel like there was much for him to do except be wise and grizzled. It's not terribly difficult. It's not Ashley Jensen, but did you notice a small cameo in this? I had to do a double take.
I think, is it, his name escapes me, but is it Huey?
Yeah, Jack Quaid.
That Jack Quaid, that's his name. I think it's really funny to watch the boys after this and think, that's the guy who killed little Rue.
Yeah.
Apparently he's apologised for that, by the way. I don't know if you know. Behind the scenes, he's apologised for killing Rue.
I just thought, that was Jack Quaid. Was it? Yeah. Oh, he's gone. Was it? I'll have another look next time he comes on the screen. Nope, never seen him again. That was it. I just thought it was nice to see that little thing there. It's great.
He's in the sequel for like, two shots and it's brilliant. I don't know why he's I mean I get why he's there in the sequel, but he's just there for like 30 seconds, right? If that.
Donald Sutherland was good. He has some menace about him, doesn't he?
He does. It's weird because nowadays I can't see anybody else playing President Snow. I mean, there are other people now, but it's him.
This is not really cast. But I do have a thing, and maybe you can help me with this thing. Maybe you can just tell me I'm an idiot and I should shut up and not care. but why do some book characters have the most ridiculous made-up names of all time ever?
Oh, I know. I actually don't have an answer to that. I think this book sort of takes the mick with it in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's been tons of parodies spawned because of it. It's really hard for me to criticize this film because I know so much about the sequels, prequels, books, everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets to a point where I think it's in the newest book and the latest film in a way, where suddenly you have all of these made up names that are callbacks. So in the prequel you get, oh, this plant, it's called Katniss. And it's just sort of like a very eye roll moment.
Yeah.
Whereas if it was, oh, this person called Sue, but it's like, it's such a normal name that it could be anyone. But the names just, I agree, they are a bit ridiculous. I think even on set, they take the mick out of the names.
I mean, even the main character, Katniss, Peter, but spelled differently. Haymitch Abernathy, Caesar Flickerman. And it reminded me of how bad the names are in Northern Lights, Golden Compass.
Yeah,
where you're just like,
that's true.
Why, just, you know, I wonder how it must be. I haven't written a book of any kind, and certainly not a popular one, but it must be quite difficult to make up names if that's the best you can do.
I mean, yeah, I find it hard to like come up with normal names for characters, let alone just two words put together.
Yeah.
Speaking of prequels and the likes, when I did the research for this about an hour ago, because love leaving it to the last minute, I opened up IMDb, other websites are available, and I quickly, randomly saw the trailer for the new movie is out, and it came out like 3 hours ago, so wow. I've watched that now, but that was just completely random and coincidence that it is, it's timestamps the episode, but that came out today.
I'll confess that I got the movie perfectly legally. I would always insist upon that. I started watching it and realized I was watching the wrong movie.
Oh, which one were you watching?
Mockingjay.
Oh.
So I watched the first two okay. minutes of Mockingjay and thought, this is the wrong movie, I need to check. And it was, sure enough, it was in fact the wrong movie that I started to watch.
Is that because it said part one?
Yeah.
Okay.
So brilliant. So there you go. It wasn't
as another great. Confession, by the time we're recording this, I've already watched Catch and Fire.
I haven't yet, yeah. But I'm not going to preempt anything I'm about to say.
The
one last thing I want to say about Cast is why was Lenny Kravitz in it?
Yeah.
I didn't get
it. That's coming up for me. It's so random, but he's such a good character the same time. Like, even the character in the book. I don't know. It's one of those things where originally you wouldn't see Lenny Kravitz playing that character or being in this movie. Mm-hmm. But then he is, and now I can't see anybody else.
But I think it goes back to what we said on a number of occasions. If you do casting well, then you fix so many problems. I mean,
absolutely,
you can see no reason for Lenny Kravitz, Stanley Tucci, Toby Jones, Donald Sutherland to be in these movies, and yet there they are being amazing.
Do you know, out of context, if somebody was playing a game with me and said, name the movie this cast's in, I don't think I could tell
you. No, you wouldn't. Which movie,
without the context,
which movie features Donald Sutherland, Lenny Kravitz, and Toby Jones? You'd think, well, none.
Yeah.
We haven't mentioned Josh Hutcherson as Peter, and we probably should because he's kind of the second lead.
Yeah.
Did you make anything of his performance?
I don't know. I think it's weird because I think his character's a bit dry for the most part. Mm-hmm. Maybe not so much in the book, I can't quite remember. But I think it comes across as a bit wooden and tough character, but I think Josh kind of pulls that off because I kind of grew up watching things with him in, because I think he started on like Disney Channel and there was like Bridge to Terabithia, which we don't talk about, and things like that. And I always just see him as a generic guy, is not the right thing, but he's just a person who's in films and he's happy to talk about these things.
Yeah.
And you know, he's the kind of person you could be friends with as opposed to look up to, and that's an actor. I mean, same thing. But I think he pulls it off so well, and he knows, in a way. I think what it comes down to is that he knows he's playing a ridiculous character with a ridiculous name.
Yeah.
And he's mocked certain things that happen in this movie. So he gets the character, but works. I'm trying to explain it properly. You take over.
I know exactly what you mean. And again, you know, in such a large cast of people, we haven't mentioned Wes Bentley's very good.
Yeah.
Great beard. Elizabeth Banks, always good.
Yeah.
No beard.
Although that would be really cool. And match the character.
She's another one that appears across many films for reasons that you're never quite sure.
Spider-Man.
She's in everything. Yeah. How does that happen? She was great. When the movie was being reviewed, I read a couple of the reviews. Is my research. Yes, research, astonishing but true. All of the reviews were genuinely positive. Casting was good. But one of the criticisms that the film got was the direction, the shaky cam.
Yeah.
Did you pick up on that? Was that a criticism, or did you think it added some realism to it?
From memory, the first time I watched this was all that there was. And I don't think I really noticed it. But in a way, it's one of those things where I probably subconsciously noticed it. And I think it works really well as a sense of, it creates uneasiness throughout the film.
Mm-hmm.
And it puts you in the film because it's like you're there. I mean, it's not... I mean, sometimes it is over the top, overly ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like a found footage film. I don't want to bring it up. But it is sort of like that, and it does ground it in reality and puts you there. As a rewatch, this film sticks out like a sore thumb, and it's because every other movie is directed by the same person in this franchise. This is the only movie that has a different director.
Oh, okay.
And it really shows. But I think even back then, and this was a point I wanted to point out, this works as a standalone film.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was a kid and I saw it for the first time, that was the end of the story.
Yeah.
And that's okay with me. I accepted that. But no, I think I agree with the reviews that it's a bit shaky and all over the place, but in a way I like that creative direction because it makes you feel you're in it.
Yeah.
But now it just looks weird.
Yeah, I definitely got the whole kind of, I could see why it was criticized. I mean, I liked it actually. It didn't bother me. It gave it, as you say, that level of realism. And it, like a lot of these things, to make a point that I've made a billion times before, but there's a certain kind of technology that comes out, and one of this would have been around about the time of Steadicam and running with cameras and things, and cameras got in much smaller, and so you could then do things like that, and so it feels a bit of its time actually when you watch it back now, but it didn't bother me. I thought it was very artfully directed actually, and you know, a really nicely made movie.
I think it's strange as well because I kind of notice it more towards the beginning that it's shot very differently, but then when you get into it and you get used to it, you sort of, you accept it and it disappears in your mind.
I also liked its use of special effects, or rather its lack of special effects. There was a lot of physical effects, a lot of the stuff in the woods and in the forest. They either were physical effects or they were good enough to give the impression that they were, and I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I think that really sells it. But just on cameras, randomly, I think this is the only example in these movies where it shows how the audience is watching it, so little bits of the trees moving around, and I don't know, it never really sells to me that all of these people watch what is essentially GoPro footage at a dodgy angle.
Yeah.
But as a movie, it works perfectly. But as a real life concept, not so much.
I just wondered where all the cameras were. So they're in a cave and he's got a poorly leg and there's no sign of a camera there. How does that work? It reminded me of, it was like Star Trek.
Yeah.
So they'd say, Captain, there's a Klingon vessel 500 clicks off the starboard bow. And Captain Kirk would say, on screen. How have you done that?
Yeah.
It's magic. It's a bit like that. There must be maybe they don't need to over-explain the technology, but some explanation would have been helpful.
Exactly. It's just the movie magic.
Yeah. The music soundtrack, what did you make of that?
I don't know. This, as I say, it's hard for me to criticize because I know the other movies. I think I prefer it in the other movies, but it takes things from this one, so I do really like the soundtrack. I like the sort of, I don't know, there's like an innocence behind it with some of the themes, because these are just innocent kids going off to fight, and I think that works really well, and is also like, you feel the emotion of the music.
I think it's a fascinating soundtrack, because on the one hand you've got two very different people doing it. So you've got T-Bone Burnett, who was doing all the kind of that. He's sort of quite well known music producer, and he was the person who did the music to the Johnny Cash movie, for example. So you've got that kind of, I don't know, I hesitate to call it country and western feel, but there's definitely contemporary guitar music. And in the background, you've got James Newton Howard, who is in my view one of the best kind of soundtrack
composers
of the last 20 years or so. But the interesting thing, this is just trivia, is that this is another one of those James Newton Howard soundtracks where he wasn't the first choice.
Right, who was the first choice then?
Danny Elfman.
Okay, I would be interested to see what that was like, but I think I would prefer James Newton Howard.
And then typically, you know, scheduling conflict is what they call it. And that generally means fell out.
Yeah.
Okay. It's studio talk for we fell out. Mm-hmm. And so they get in touch with James Newton Howard. And exactly the same thing happened to James Newton Howard in another film that we've talked about. Can you remember which one?
Was it? Oh, I don't know. I was going to say Spiderwick, but I don't think that's right.
It's King Kong.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
When it was supposed to be Howard Shore and there was a scheduling conflict. And it ended up with James Newton Howard, and is much better for it, in my view. Mm-hmm. I thought the soundtrack was really good. I liked the contemporary music. I liked the score. Oh, it was great.
Yeah, just to try and save my point, I think even down to the bit at the Capitol where you can sort of get the eeriness and the creepiness of it all from the music, it just works so well, yeah.
Yeah, I love James Newton Howard. He's one of the few soundtrack composers where I can just stick it on and enjoy it. So I would listen to the his parts of the soundtrack from Hunger Games. I thought it was really, 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 really good. Box office, are you interested?
Yes, of course you are. Absolutely.
Of course you are. So it cost to make, it cost a, I think, very reasonable $78 million.
Right, yeah.
Which is a lot for 2012, but it's not ridiculous. How much do you think it made?
74 pence.
It made 79. It made 695.
Okay, right.
Million, wow. not just 695. No, it's 695 million. For this.
Cool.
Yeah. Do you know, I didn't know, getting back to the music, that Taylor Swift was around in 2012.
Yeah, I think it was a lot of early work. I'm not really that big on Taylor Swift, but yeah.
No, I'm not a huge fan, but I say that I don't know enough to have an opinion.
How did you know Taylor Swift was in it?
She has a song in it, doesn't she?
As the second song in the credits, yeah.
Yeah. I watched the credits because I was enjoying the song.
So did I. Fair enough.
And then I was thinking, oh, who is this? I really like this song. Yeah. It's really catchy. Oh my goodness, it's Taylor Swift.
I think she did two songs on that album, actually.
Right. It's possible. I had to go into some sort of denial.
It wasn't very good.
I actually thought she was really good in it as well.
Yeah. They always do really well with the soundtrack songs, actually, especially the main one. Yeah.
Did you get... There was some controversy when this movie came out, wasn't there?
There always is.
There was kind of... I don't know. I think one of the main controversies that came out was this idea of a movie in which other children were killing children.
Yeah.
And I didn't really want to get bogged down in that, but it is a good question. Do you have anything that you would make of that?
As I hinted at last episode, that I watch these movies every November, and I do always question the whole, are we the baddies kind of situation? Because we now take enjoyment, I do, out of watching these films, which sort of makes us like the capital and its citizens. And it's like, should we really be enjoying it? But I also do enjoy it. And I know the overarching storyline of these three books, four movies in this case, is rebellion and taking down the system. Mm-hmm. But then you've got the prequels and it's like, I'm still going to go and see them. Am I the problem? So it's weird.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? I mean, it is. You can write it, and it comes out perfectly convincingly and plausible on screen, and presumably in the book as well. But you're right; it's controversial, but it's consumed.
Yeah.
What do you make of that? There, and that's, I think, true of many films.
Yeah.
Where they're so dark, and yet they become iconically interesting and things. I mean, Seven, for example, I don't know if you've ever seen Seven.
I have, yeah.
But famously grim and yet super popular. And you just think of the things that we do for entertainment.
I always say, what's in the box?
Oh, I know. But the natural progression of that idea, the things that you do for entertainment, we like the Hunger Games, the natural progression of that in 200 or 300 years of human existence in which things have gone to pieces is entertainment by watching children killing each other.
Yeah. I mean, I like to think that myself, especially, and the world as a whole, wouldn't subscribe to the whole thing if it was real. But the movies, yeah, sure.
I just think, yeah.
Like, if you were tuning into this on a Saturday night to watch kids die, you wouldn't stand for it. It wouldn't be allowed. Nobody would actually want to do that. But if this was on the telly on a Saturday night, you're going to sit and watch it.
The movie, yeah. But yeah, gladiators with 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
you probably wouldn't get away with it. Quite right as well, yeah. The other thing as well that was controversial, apparently, and this is, I would never have got this, but there was actually the casting of Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, I think, is it that the character is supposed to be of a certain race or type? And she isn't.
In her case, it was decided that it seemed that she was supposed to be from this kind of outlying colony or whatever they were called,
district.
That's it. And she should have been, by all accounts, starving.
Yeah.
And yet she is this muscular, healthy, fit young woman who's clearly been working out a lot. And I don't subscribe to that kind of thing, but it's sort of worth mentioning.
That was one of my first points, really, is that no one looks very hungry. But I think they improve on that in other movies. Maybe not these ones, but definitely the prequel, yeah.
Really good concept, though. I mean, I haven't read the book, but I might. I might go away and read the book. Do you know how many Academy Awards it was nominated for?
Maybe one.
No, none, I'm afraid.
Oh, okay. I did think it was a stretch.
It did get a few things. It got the song Safe and Sound won a Grammy Award.
Oh, okay, well, of course.
Yeah. Which, fair enough. You know. And Jennifer Lawrence got the Saturn and Empire Awards for Best Actress.
Okay.
And it got, you know, many awards, but it didn't have much for going for it in terms of the Academy Awards. But what do they know?
Yeah, exactly.
You must have, I suspect, many pieces of trivia and or out-of-pocket takes about this movie.
I found a few that I actually didn't know.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's my out-of-pocket take. I like to think of it more as out-of-pocket trivia.
Okay.
In order to prepare for the role, Lenny Kravitz read the script and memorized his lines.
Yeah. Was one of his lines, "Are you going to go my way?"
Yes. Is that one of his songs?
Was one of his lines, "Is that Jimi Hendrix?" "I've never heard of him," said Lenny, with a massive lying. Yes. If you ever listen to Jimi Hendrix and then Lenny Kravitz, you think, "Oh, okay, me. That makes sense now. I get it.
Yeah, I can see it. Yeah. Yeah. Woody Harrelson is a vegan in real life. I didn't know that in scenes where Haymitch has to eat, he has dessert, vegetables, or drinks. I've never noticed that. It's quite cool.
I've never noticed at all.
No.
Wow. But why not just give him fake meat?
I think that's harder to do.
Yeah, I suppose.
Takes more effort.
I suppose it does, yeah. But I've seen that program. Is it cake?
That's right, yeah.
And sometimes, there's a roast chicken. And it looks like a roast chicken. And it's a cake.
Yeah. I'd like to see that.
Surely you can do a vegan version of that.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. It exists. More trivia that I didn't know. Elizabeth Banks plays a pivotal character in the story of Effie Trinket, but her name is actually never said in this movie. It's only in the sequels, which it's one of those things that I don't think you would notice. I think she's not really a memorable character in this part of the story, but it's quite cool. I didn't know it. Yeah,
it is. I love things like that. It's like am I right in thinking that in the Lord of the Rings, Frodo and Legolas never speak to each other?
Yeah, that's true.
And you would never notice until somebody told you. you would, if someone said, "You remember that when Frodo says, yeah, you go, yeah, yeah, I remember that, yeah, yeah,
yeah,"
and it's just not true. But you would never notice it. Nobody had said her name.
I know, it's so weird. I kind of want to go back and watch it just to see if it's true. She doesn't even introduce herself. I guess why would you at that point?
But if your name is Effie Trinket or whatever it is, you probably wouldn't bother. It's another one. I was look on in the script, don't write a name, just don't write it.
There's a lot of that actually where it's like, how do you pronounce it? Maybe just don't say it.
Yeah, don't say it. That's fine. Yeah. Just carry on.
She has a bigger role in the new one that's coming out, so I'm looking forward to that.
How many of them are there? Is this 4 or 5?
There's this one, it's Catch and Fire, Mockingjay Part 1, Mockingjay Part 2, because they like to split these things. There's the prequel, which is The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, and then there's the next prequel, if you like, which is Sunrise on the Reaping. So I wasn't counting.
Presumably, Jennifer Lawrence isn't in the prequels.
Well, and this is a possible spoiler, so if you don't want to know, don't listen to this bit. That excludes you.
Yeah.
The next one, Sunrise on the Reaping, is Haymitch's Games. And that book ends with an epilogue with Katniss and Peter.
Okay.
Interesting. Which is in the book as part of that's to end her story, but isn't in the movie to end her story. So there's a chance that it'll be seen on screen. Then they'll come back, which they're being cagey about, but you would at that point, wouldn't you?
You would have thought so. So it is essentially then a trilogy but the last part of the trilogy is told in two parts.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Understood.
Because yeah, I don't know if you know, okay. The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, the prequel that's out, is about Snow basically rising to power in a way.
Got it. Okay. No, I don't know, but I am genuinely interested to find out more.
Really?
So there you go. Yeah, no, I am. Yeah, I'm really, yeah.
I'm a big fan of the books. I think whenever they've come out in recent years, because obviously when I read them the first time around, they were already out. So the new, the two new ones, I've got a day of release and I've read them within a couple of days. Right. Just because I like them and I'm interested. Yeah.
Cool. Excellent.
Because of how the pedestals were arranged and spaced apart in the field, there were only 20 at the cornucopia instead of 24. Which I've never noticed again, but I guess...
I would never have noticed that either. No, why would you? Yeah,
yeah, it would be shot in a way that you can't tell, and you wouldn't know all the characters. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Some of the characters, the children characters that get killed and everything else, they felt a bit peripheral. I wonder if they're that peripheral in the book, whether they get anything to do in the book before they get topped.
I think every now and then someone does, yeah. I think... That's another thing that's become a bit more apparent in later books. But yeah, they are just a bit yellow shirt kind of. No, red shirt is what I'm thinking of. Red shirt.
There's definitely a couple of red shirts in this. You don't even see them. You see the back of their head and and then they don't make it past the first hurdle, as it were.
I mean, that scene is traumatic, though. I think that's the one that scared me the most as a kid. Yeah.
Yeah. It's also sad when the little kid dies.
Yeah, Rue.
That's quite a nice scene. That's when Jennifer Lawrence acting is at its best, when she's actually got something to do. I thought she was great in that moment. Do you have any controversial opinions about this film?
I kind of do, but I think it's controversial to the fan base.
I see.
Maybe not to you, but we'll give it a go.
We'll give it a go. Okay.
This beats all other young adult franchises. But maybe ties with the Maze Runner series. I don't know if you can confirm or deny.
I can't confirm or deny that. I think it is controversial, but I certainly don't think I'm going to make it controversial. I definitely think it is a better movie series.
Yeah.
For young adults than most of the ones that were coming out at that point. I genuinely do.
I don't know if we saw any of the other ones. I think this might be the only sort of young adult franchise we saw.
I think it is the last one, yeah.
Yeah.
So it is interesting.
Here's a controversial debate. The red-headed girl... who's one of the tributes, who is referred to as Foxface, and I will take no other name as canon. did she in fact kill herself? Because
it's a good question. I don't know.
Because during the training sequence, she's identifying all of these leaves and berries. Why would she take something that would immediately poison and kill her?
Yeah, it is. It's a good question.
It's a proper debate within the fandom, if you want to use that word. And I think she might have. But nobody really knows.
Yes, interesting. I don't know. It's possible. I don't know enough to give you an answer.
That's fine.
But I do think it's possible in the context of what you just described, yeah.
Did you know that this has just been turned into a stage play as well?
I did. I saw that. I read some of the reviews. The reviews are quite mixed of it. I didn't know that the a young actress playing, a young actor playing Katniss Everdeen in this is the daughter of former Liverpool footballer and current Sky Sports pundit Jamie Carragher.
Oh wow, I actually didn't know that. Do you think she has a Liverpool accent when she's doing the play?
I don't know. I really don't know. But I do think it's... I thought that was interesting. She apparently is really good in it, but a lot of people have criticised the West End production. Apparently it's in a space that was specifically designed for it. And they said it's a bit all over the place. You know, some of the set pieces are amazing, but you lose quite a lot of what's happening.
I thought that's why I've been put off about it, because it's one of those where the stage is in the middle. So everyone's sat around it, like a stage, well, stadium, not a stage. That would be different. One thing I did notice from photos, though, and I could be wrong about this, but I don't think I am. The costumes that they've got in the arena in the play are orange, which I'm pretty sure is accurate to the book.
Right.
But not in the movie. So I like that.
I think I'd quite like to watch it.
I think
play,
it,
I mean.
Yeah, if it was easy for me to get to and do, absolutely, I'd see it.
Yeah, I think I'd quite like to see it.
And, actually, they were giving out special pin badges as well, and I have a collection of Mockingjay pin badges, so I'd dying to get my hands on one of those.
Yeah, well, I've just spotted that Draco Malfoy actor is on stage playing Draco Malfoy. And you just think, really?
There's something horrible about that whole situation as well.
There is.
Every time he shows up on stage and someone's filmed it, they have to wait about 5 minutes for everyone to stop screaming. So there's one bit where I think he says Potter and just people cheer. It's like, you're watching a stage play. Like, calm down.
Yeah. Well, at least he's still working. I mean, your man, Rupert Grint.
True.
He's not doing a lot at the moment, is he? No. God bless him. There you go. I think I'm ready to go to the score now, but you chose the movie, so I believe it must be your turn to go first. Are you ready to go to scores?
I am, yes. Very ready. So, yeah, when I saw this film as a kid, it was a random out of the blue, let's go watch that. I didn't know what I was getting myself in for. Thought that was the only film. Went home a bit terrified because kids dying.
Yeah.
That being said, I have then read the books. That's not true. I read the book after I saw Catch and Fire, which meant that I knew the ending of all of them before the ending of the film. Not the point. But because I've grown with it as a franchise and seen the sequels, prequels, read the books, I've grown to like it a lot more and see it for what it actually is. And I do think this movie in particular captivates you in the way that it grabs you from the start, looking different, sounding different, being different, apart from maybe ripping off a few things here and there. And I think as a movie, this does a really good job of taking a first-person perspective book and turning it into a film.
Yeah,
and that's good. I like that a lot. And I think I'll always go back to rewatch this film. So I think I'm going to give it a rewatch score of 8 out of 10.
Nice. I gave it 3 because it was one of those ones where it kind of passed me by the first time. I hadn't read the books. I wasn't its target audience, honestly.
Yeah.
And so from memory, it was a 3. But I watched it. I enjoyed watching it. And like you, I think it's a much, much better movie than I remember it being. And so I'm going to give it an 8.
Okay.
But I'm gonna invoke the Cardellini maneuver for Elizabeth Banks, so it gets a 9.
I almost did that. Yeah.
so because anything with Elizabeth Banks is elevated, it just goes up. I'm going to give it a 9.
Cool.
Cardellini maneuver invoked. So I'm going to give it a 9, which I think is pretty good. It's gone from 16. It's gone from 9 overall to 17 overall.
I like that your score's higher than mine for this.
I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I do want to watch it again. And I didn't get any of the issues that anybody had with casting or anything like that. I didn't see any of that. I just thought it was a really good movie, and I want to watch the sequels.
I will say, out of all of these movies in this franchise, the second one, Catch and Fire, is the best film.
Okay, that I'm sold. What would be your one word review of The Hunger Games?
Captivating.
That's really
bad.
It's really interesting because I was going to go a lot. I was actually going to use the word interesting.
Okay.
And they're quite similar. Yours is more powerful than mine. But I genuinely thought it was an interesting premise. Everything about the movie was interesting to watch. So
even as a thought-provoking commentary on reality, those weren't the words I wanted to use, but they're the words that came out.
No, it's good. Exactly right. I mean, everything about it is interesting. Great.
Actually, if you do end up watching all of these, I wonder what your answer to a specific question would be.
I don't know what that question is.
Do you want me to spoil it?
Go on then.
At the end of everything, we could leave this in. At the end of everything, and they win, the good guys, they have a ceremonial Hunger Games offer. So they all sit around a table and go, should we chuck the capital's kids in, including President Snow's granddaughter? And everybody takes a vote, and this is the only time I disagree with Katniss, because she votes yes. I would say no.
How interesting.
Yeah.
That is really interesting.
Makes you think.
It does make you think. I will have to now watch all of them. Maybe even read the books. No, it's fine. I don't mind spoilers, to be honest.
Yeah.
I find comfort in re-watching and enjoying things, reading, watching, whatever, where I already know what's going to happen. I've always enjoyed that. Moving on. It's my turn to choose a movie.
It is, yes.
My movie choice this week is based on, a little bit on the conversation that we had at the beginning about books that became movies that maybe shouldn't have become movies, etc., etc. My very strong thought is that this might not be on the list. We might have forgotten that it existed.
Okay.
But we definitely saw this movie at the cinema, and it is the 2011 classic movie I Am Number 4.
Okay, cool.
Remember that?
Nope. I don't know if we have seen it.
We definitely did.
Okay.
It's a movie based on a book. It's got Alex Pettifer in it. And we definitely watched it in 2011.
I know that much.
Okay. And so I'm going to give it a memory score of 7. Because I remember thinking, oh, I've enjoyed that. And going to buy the book. And then there's another one called I Am Number 5 and Number 6. Uh-huh. And I read a few of them. And I remember enjoying it. So I'm going to give it a score of 7.
Cool. I think we're going to flip the script of last week. Because I don't think I remember much about this movie. I remember who's in it. And I think I remember there being book sequels, but I don't think there's movie sequels.
No.
So I'm going to give it a 3. But based purely on the fact that I really don't remember it.
I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves. It was not well reviewed.
Yeah.
And it was not very successful. But there you go. I'm very much looking forward. the boy that killed things. We have done Stormbreaker in our podcast as well, haven't we?
We have, yeah.
Okay. So the second Alex Pettifer film. Okay, well, there you go. Thank you very much for listening to our podcast. Hey, Sam, do you know what day it is today?
Not today, no. But yesterday was International Men's Day, which also falls on International Toilet Day. So there you go. What day is today?
I'm glad you've mentioned it. Those things. It is World Children's Day today.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah, so if you are a child and you celebrate, enjoy.
Congratulations. It's your day.
Yeah. November 20th is World Children's Day. It's also, I'm not making this up, it is also National Pay Back Your Parents Day, a day dedicated to appreciating parents.
And with that, I think it's time to end. I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Is that disingenuous?
It's also Revolution Day in Mexico.
Oh, okay, cool. I was going to do the Hunger Games salute, but nobody could see. That's something, by the way. Sorry, in the book, that's the left hand. In the movie, it's the right hand. Until the sequels, it becomes the left hand. Anyway, what are you saying?
The devil is in the detail, as they say.
Yeah.
Well, all that's left for me is to wish any child out there that's celebrating World Children's Day a good day. Well done for being a child. It doesn't last forever. Make the most of it.
Yeah.
And also National Pay Your Parents Back Day.
What are you trying to say?
I mean, you know, if for any reason, you know, within this scenario, there was a parent who had done. Anyway, let's not finish that.
I've given you an hour of my time.
Fair enough. Otherwise, we wish you all the very best. We'll be back next week with I Am Number 4. Not a sequel. It was the first one.
I haven't seen the other I Am numbers. It's like Big Hero 6. Where were the other 5?
Yeah, I missed all of those. Yeah. Brilliant. All that leaves us to do is to say goodbye. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Oops.
I thought that goodbye went well.
Me too.
Bye then.
Bye.
With the benefit of hindsight, we'll see what the movie's true.